Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. There's some days. Some days, Jeffrey, when I wander into this radio show and I think, what exactly are we going to talk about for 2 hours? There are, it's a little thin. And then there's some days I can't wait to get into this radio show because there is so much to talk about and it is so glorious. So absolutely glorious. And this is one of those days. Not even including the fact that it's because it's Tuesday. We have Fish on Friday on Tuesday. We will wrap up the show today with our man in Washington, D.C., Charles Fishman, talking about, I'll be honest, I don't know what yet. And not only because at 10 o'clock, we will have Chris Harrington, who was at the Grizzlies game last night, chronicling the return of Ja Morant. We're a wonderful piece in the Daily Memphian today about that. Where he was describing Ja at one point, is dunk. Only dunk of the year.
Yep.
Only dunk of the year.
I made sure to tell my wife that stat.
That's good. And Chris, writing about it, said Ja achieved escape velocity, which is about right. You know, it's like, is he going to break through the bounds of gravity? And so I'd urge you to read that piece by Chris about Ja Morant and his return and the spectacular night at FedEx Forum as we got all three, Jaren, Dez, and Ja, and a victory over the Portland Trailblazers. Three in a row. Grizzlies have now won 7 home games, Jeffrey.
There you go, Jeff. Does that tie last year's number?
9.
Okay.
9.
We're getting there.
But by the end of the week. By the
Fingers
end of the
crossed.
Week. Yeah, God willing, and the creek. It's a big creek.
Mm-hmm.
The creek don't rise. We'll get there this week. So I'm looking forward to the show because we're going to have Chris on to talk about everything he witnessed and wrote about at FedEx Forum. But mostly, listen, we care deeply about two basketball teams in this city. Once upon a time, in fact, in a slightly ill-advised branding effort by the Memphis Grizzlies. They tried to call Memphis Dunky Town. That was silly.
I don't even remember that.
There was Donkey Town early on. That just goes to show what Tony Allen and Zeebo and the rest did for the city, that they elevated for us from a place where once upon a time we talked about a city called, no one ever, never took root, Donkey Town. But people care deeply about basketball. Over the years, over the decades, they have cared deeply about Memphis Tiger basketball. That passion runs deep. And then over the last couple decades, they have developed a profound love, a fierce affection for Memphis Grizzlies basketball. That love runs hot. And yesterday, we had a magnificent day of basketball on both fronts. In fact, Drew Hill, I'm going to keep pointing you to the Daily Memphian today because there's some great stuff in there today. First of all, among other things, Jody Callahan wrote about this cemetery on Central. There's this like 1 acre cemetery on Central that was abandoned by the church that created it. And so it was unattended for decades and decades and decades. And Jody discovered the cemetery and wrote about it. That was great. But let's be honest. That wasn't the score that's capturing everyone's attention yesterday.
You sure?
It was another team that rose from the dead yesterday. Because we had, and Drew wrote about this, Drew wrote about, he went to a Memphis Tiger basketball watch party at, how do you pronounce it, Rotolo?
Rotolo's.
Rotolo's. It was at Rotolo's. And so the middle of the day, there was a Memphis Tiger basketball watch party. And Drew Hill went there and captured the scene. Funny little deal. Funny, I guess. With like a minute left in overtime, TV goes out in the bar in Rotolo's. It was no Tolo's at that point.
Okay, that's
and so,
a tough scene.
So there, everyone's like firing up their phones to watch the rest of it. So he goes to that event, and then he goes down to FedEx Forum where he captures the wonder of Ja's return. It was just a red letter day or a blue letter day. It was magnificent. And we will be talking about it today. We will we'll take your calls about it today. We will have, yes, a Jeff Calkin show poll about it today. It is going to be glorious. But the headliner is what happened in Maui. And if you happen to get audio of my appearance on with Jason and John yesterday, I believe you will be hearing me saying that nobody thinks that they can win. Nobody. Like last year, if this had been last year's team, we might have been able to talk ourselves out of it. But having hope stamped out of us last year, literally, I pronounced in my wisdom that nobody believed that Memphis could, would, will, whatever, win that game against UConn. And then the game started. And honestly, from the very beginning, it was like, holy ass, they're here to go right up into the face of UConn and give them everything they can possibly handle. Like, wasn't that, like,
I tweeted it in real time. I was like, the defensive intensity is
whole, it was like, oh, man. Like, so much for slow starts.
Yep.
No slow start here. It was the proverbial punch them first. It was like, and as you watched it, at least as I watched it on the broadcast, there, like, Billis is like, oh, damn, like, they're here for blood. Oh, my God, this defensive intensity. Like, it was popping off the screen.
Absolutely.
They were, like, there was no intimidation. It didn't appear there were any nerves. It was just like, F you, we're coming after this. You're the defending what? Ah, it doesn't matter to us. It was really stunning.
No, it was honestly like saying, welcome to hell.
Well, yeah, it was. I mean, and that's what Billis kept saying. He said, UConn can't run anything.
Yep.
Like, they don't look like UConn.
There was
just normally there.
And the Tigers kept pushing further or farther and farther from the basket.
And so this is unfolding. And let's be honest, because And I think this is just true. Someone wrote me today. A friend Jay said, wish me happy Thanksgiving. And then he said, you know, and I, you know, appreciate your writing all the years, whatever. He said, you're practically a Memphian. And that's about right, practically, after nearly three decades. But I think I can speak to the degree of PTSD on any number of fronts. Well, A, I bring my own from Buffalo. And then you get the Memphis PTSD with what happened in Mario Chalmers land. And I think you're all, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe some people of you are just wired more optimistically than I, but you're waiting to when it ends, when UConn becomes UConn, right? When this, okay, this has been great, but then it does, as it continues to unfold, here's the stark realization. One team didn't look better than the other. Team did not look physically more impressive or more dominant than the other.
If you were just watching the game and you had no context, you would sit there and go, these two teams are even.
Yeah, you might have said Memphis is the fiercer team, but these two teams are,
right.
in terms of their what they have,
correct.
The stuff that they have, they're about even. And then, in the midst of all that, one of you are thinking, I wonder if going to turn back into a punt, whatever. Then along comes Tyrese Hunter. And he just goes nuts in the second half. Bombing in threes, three from the corner where he's knocked over. Pull up from the logo. Like he's and by the way, locking down on the other end. Like he was putting on a show. For a while there, it was the Tyrese Hunter show. And then PJ Haggerty picks up where he leaves off. And it's like, oh my God, they're gonna win this thing. Holy smoke, they're gonna win this thing. Up by 13. And then we had seen it before. I honestly, if it had collapsed, we would have focused on the not fouling at the end of regulation, clearly,
yep.
and justifiably. There was also some loose, like there was one possession a couple minutes earlier, in between a couple of threes, where Memphis had a chance to be patient, and they just... A couple of loose possessions in there that, like, and all of a sudden it's down to seven, and then it's down, and then UConn gets the damn ball down three. As Chris Crawford once put it, there might have been some tight booty holes around this around the city at that moment. I don't know what y'all were thinking out there, wherever you were watching, whether it was at Bertolo's or at work or on your phone or. But you were on the air.
Yeah.
How'd you do this? Did you do play by play?
Yeah, I basically heard. Now we're just watching the game.
And did play by play as you watched. And was Hurd saying foul?
No, he actually said he didn't believe in fouling.
He did not believe
it. I was like, I think I'd foul.
All of Memphis except for Hurd was saying foul. They didn't foul. And solo freaking ball. Rises up, 0.9 seconds left, drills the three. And it was 2008 all over again. Here it was, crushing. Number two team in the country. And let's be honest, these chances don't come along all the time. You're not up 13 on the number two team in the country, two-time defending champion. And that ball drops through, and you're gutted. And I don't know how many of you turned the TV off then. I know some did. I was talking to Ron Olson today, who said he knows people who turned it off. And Drew said there's some people who left for Tolos. And if you had asked me to play that overtime period after that, there's no way I was getting up. There's no way I was getting up. And then in addition... Jordan and P.J. Haggerty both fouled out. P.J. Haggerty, your guy, the best player on the team, fouled out. And then you go down to UConn. And my God, we've seen this movie before. I don't need to see the ending. But not this time. And it was one of the most extraordinary efforts that I have ever seen from a Memphis basketball team. I guess PJ Carter doesn't know anything about 2008, you know? And Colby Rogers.
Honestly, he probably doesn't.
He probably doesn't. Of course he doesn't.
And I'm not saying that like a bad thing.
No, no, he doesn't. Yeah. Why would he?
Yeah.
His three, massive three.
How about the free throws?
And then the free throws. Boom, 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 boom. Like one free throw after another. Calmly stepping to the line, dropping in free throws. Colby Rogers. PJ Carter, who hadn't made a bucket, comes in and is sensational. Colby Rogers is sensational. You have just let UConn go on an 18-5 run. Your best player is fouled out. You're down in OT, and you get off the mat after that? It was just gutty as hell. It was epic as hell. And all of a sudden, Danny Hurley is losing his mind. Well, okay, let's be honest. He'd been losing his mind since the beginning of the game.
I'll say, he set the tone pretty early.
It's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's what he does, in fact, the truth of the matter is, as this was all unfolding, I was getting texts and tweets like, why did they let him get away with this? And the answer is, why do they let Draymond Green get away with this? Because if you just do it all the time and there are no repercussions, it's just kind of, you gotta do something truly extraordinary then, because you've set the tone, you've enabled him all along, acting like a lunatic, calling you an effing joke. And there is a call and a over the back. And I don't know. I'd say it was certainly arguable, wouldn't you?
I felt like Memphis got a good call.
I think Memphis got a good call there. And I think Danny Hurley had a right to be angry at that call at that moment.
Yeah, not cost his team, but yeah,
he had a right to be angry, yeah, to be frustrated.
I thought Memphis got a break.
If that had gone against Memphis the other way, I think Penny would have been frustrated. But I'll tell you what Penny would not have done.
Hit the floor?
He would have not gotten himself a tee. He would have not called the official over and over and over again an effing joke, mm-hmm, and he would not have collapsed to the floor. But Danny Hurley did, and Danny Hurley got called for the tee. And boy, that was sweet.
Yeah.
That was sweet. I suppose there are people out there who might say, I would rather they had won without the benefit of the tee, because then there's literally nothing that anyone could point to as, oh, well, they got that tee. You can't do that tee. Like, I have seen people, Sam Vecini from The Athletic. It was interesting to see the reactions online. Sam Vecini from The Athletic, oh, my God, these officials in Maui are out of their minds. They get the McNeely call over the back wrong. Then they compound it with a technical on Hurley. Absolute get out of here with that nonsense.
Well, I mean,
then Seth Davis, he was tweeting the opposite. He was like, officials have said they're going to do this. And I'm not quoting exactly. Hurley's can't do this. Can't create this repercussions for his team. Rob Doster, too much of the discussion from this game is going to end up being about Hurley's tech. Should be about Memphis. Second half shot making was ridiculous. And OT as well. Haggerty and Hunter are legit. They have length, athleticism everywhere. That's a really good team. I guess my point is that there are those who might say, I wish it had happened without the tee. I'll be honest, I kind of reveled in the tee. I found that to be sweet justice.
I find all that discussion to be erroneous. Because you know what's going to matter at the end of the year? It's going to be a number on a piece of paper, and that number is going to look awesome on a piece of paper. It's going to say that Memphis beat what's likely to be
that is 100% true.
A top 10 team, and that's all that's going to matter. There's not going to be some asterisk that says,
yeah, but the enjoyment of it,
didn't that make the enjoyment better?
That's what I'm saying. I enjoyed it more. I found it to be particularly sweet that he did it to himself. F you.
You cost his team.
He's a jerk.
He cost his team.
He's a brilliant coach. He is a great coach.
And I also think he's good for the sport. Team.
And I think he's good for the sport. And I think he's good for the sport. I think that's true too. Larger than life figures are, and he has become by dint of his winning the personality without the winning wouldn't be appealing.
Agreed.
But the personality with the winning, it's still not appealing for anyone who is not a UConn fan.
Yeah, but it makes it so much better when
you win. But it makes
it
so much better to beat him.
Yes.
It's like beating Bob Huggins.
Yes.
Right? It's like
beating Bobby Knight.
It's like beating Bobby Knight. Exactly right. It's like people felt when they beat Sean Calipari, right?
Yes.
It's like it's fun to beat the larger than life figures, and then it's fun to see them do it to themselves. And so with that creating the cushion, Memphis now goes into the final seconds once again, up by three. Now you've had heard here in studio. Were you still on at this point?
So the problem is, basically, we go off the air right as the melee starts. So the bench is clear. That's when the show ended.
the Musa Cisse, that one?
Correct.
The problem with that, Musa did a great job of drawing the foul.
Yep.
But then he it was such a great job flinging himself to the floor that Dane Danger is upset that Musa apparently has been bullied and hurt or whatever. And so Dane goes running to his rescue. Yes. You got to tell Dane.
Correct.
You got to wink at Dane. So he didn't we don't need offsetting here. Anyway, so I do wonder if Hurd once again was saying don't foul. Because all of Memphis again, with one voice, was yelling this time, foul. And sure enough, they did. Hits the first shot. Misses the second shot intentionally. Memphis gets the rebound. Memphis gets the win. Memphis gets the win. Memphis gets the win. Memphis gets the win. And then afterwards, and I got to hand it to this, Danny Hurley was contrite. No, he wasn't. I'm sorry. That's a joke. He was not contrite. Here's Danny Hurley afterwards.
But I had a lot of issues with what went on out there in the game. That over the back call at that point of the game, there was no attempt to block out. There was a player on Memphis that made a half-ass effort to rebound that basketball, and Liam McNeely high-pointed that rebound. For that call to be made at that point in the game was a complete joke, all right? And then for me, I don't know what happened. I might have lost my balance by the absurdity of the call, or maybe I tripped. But if I made that call at that point, I would have ignored the fact that I was on my back. If I made that call, I would have ignored that. I would have ignored that. That was a major. How you could call that while that game was going on, the way that game was going on, is just beyond me. But I know I've never seen the one ref before. I didn't even know he was a college ref. And then, you know, I'm familiar with the other two, so I'm not surprised.
What a jackass response. And by the way, he also said, Matt Norlander said he was asked, if his OT technical cost the UConn the game. I think it was the SE calls, he said. I would expect to come to play in an event, and I don't know too many back-to-back national championship teams that get that type of whistle. So basically he's saying, as a back-to-back championship team, he deserves a better whistle. Entitled BS. Again, I understand being angry with the call. You then cost your team that game. And there was not a lot of contrition in his response. And so Memphis gets a massive win. Any other thoughts on Hurley, the technical, any of that?
No, I just thought it was such an impressive performance. I mean, yeah.
It really was.
I know we can talk about like the last 3 minutes of the first half. They get to make plays too. And that team's going to probably have something to say about the national title picture later on in the year. There's a lot of really good players over there. And so I thought maybe, like you said, there was one or two possessions that I thought they were a little loose. But even on the play that gave them the ball back, it really wasn't a bad play. They had two guys there. It was bad execution.
Right.
And also, by the way, guys trying to save the ball while going out of bounds. I'm not exactly asking him to make a perfect pass.
And that one, Haggerty's already fouled out at that point, too. Haggerty's fouled out. I'm with you, though. It was impressive. And it wasn't like it was Tyrese Hunter was impressive. And P.J. Haggerty was impressive.
It was a team
and
win.
And P.J. Carter was impressive. And you know who was great? Dane Danger.
Yes.
Dane Danger, who couldn't do anything in that UNC exhibition, looked exactly like the Dane Danger you hoped you were getting, right? Musa was great. It was 100%. Colby Rogers was great. It was 100% a team win, a win that Penny then called the biggest of his career. Now, I think it was the most mesmerizing win of his career, right? It was the most thrilling win of his career. And by the way, it's Penny's career. I think he can weigh in. I think he's got a certain ability to pick what he thinks is the biggest game of his career.
It clearly meant something to him.
It meant the most to him. Is it bigger? Listen, the context is in the way it played out, and the context of the win, it is epic. You cannot imagine a November regular season basketball game meaning more than this one did to Memphis and Penny Hardaway, right?
No, I cannot.
Because you have the context of, this is the year, this is your time to get it done, Penny. Coming off of last year's collapse, coming off the coaching changes, coming off the NCAA, you know, whatever, going on there, all that, all the stuff. Some sense of Memphis fans all in anymore on the Penny era. And so you had all that. And then the way it played out with all the echoes from 2008. Like, I can't imagine a bigger November win, period, in for any basketball team. And the fact that for Memphis, which will not have the opportunity once they get to conference play, to have this kind of win, to be able to take that win and put it up there on the shelf on the bulletin board, and you're right, show it to the
It's on the resume, and it's going to be highlighted.
It's on the resume, and it's going to be highlighted. Massive win. Is it bigger than, I'll give you three options. This is the Jeff Calkins show poll. Is it bigger than beating UT Knoxville in Knoxville in 2019?
Okay.
Is it bigger than beating number one Houston for the AAC title? Is it bigger than winning an NCAA tournament game? I think those are the three that I would put up against it. Is there any other? I mean, there's a win over Alabama. There's others.
Heard and I were trying to get through it yesterday. I think these are the four clear options.
So, I think this one might win in our poll.
Well, there's definitely going to be some recent advice.
Because we're on a high.
You got that big win.
And should be.
That big win vibe.
Nothing felt better. I'll say that. Like, nothing felt better. I don't know that. How can it be better, bigger than a rate? Like, if Penny didn't have an NCAA tournament win on his resume, that would be like, my God, he hasn't even won an NCAA. He has that. Like, he has the win over Houston, number one Houston. Now, mind you, they were hobbled, but number one Houston to win a conference title.
The problem, though, is while all of that is true, like, you already, that team was getting in the tournament. We figured out that game didn't matter. Like that they are.
No, but you get to hang a banner. Banners fly forever.
But I also wonder this. Does how the game plays out have something to do with this? Because, yes. That 2019 Tennessee wins, a great win. That was a sucky basketball game. In terms of, like, last night was, or yesterday afternoon was an awesome watch.
I think how it played out with all the history, echoes of history, is absolutely a part of it. It's why it feels better to me. It felt better than any win they've had.
Yes.
Including the others.
Totally
agree. To me, it feels better than any win they've had under Penny. But is it bigger? And I guess I would put it behind, I'd put it ahead of the UT game. That was great fun. But we assumed at that point that the Penny era was going to work out well no matter what. Right, like,
well, and part of that being such a great day is, yes, you went to Knoxville and won, and you got
and a huge crowd, right, and you got the,
you got all of that. But part of it was they just won like nine in a row without James,
right? Yeah,
like, and Wiseman's coming back. Like, part of that was like
didn't feel as important, because in the end, at that point, we still thought the Penny Hardaway was going to like roll. And it, even had they lost it, you didn't need it, right? It was great, but you didn't need it. This one you needed in a way you didn't that one. To me, that one's easily the fourth of this group. The other three, I can hear arguments over them. And I think an NCAA tournament win is probably big, the quote-unquote biggest. To get into that game against Gonzaga, and now he has an NCAA tournament win, but and at a time when Penny needed that. But I don't. I'm willing to hear your thoughts on it. And here's what we're going to do. When we come back, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to take calls. 445-0929, 445-0929. How'd you feel watching it? Did you turn it off? What was your experience, your emotional experience yesterday? And how do you rank it against these others? We will take your calls when we return. We still have the Grizzlies to talk about. We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. We got Fish on Friday on Tuesday. It is the Jeff Calkins Show. Again, phone number 445-0929, 445-0929 on a glorious day for basketball in Memphis. Back in a moment.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
92.9 FM ESPN. It's all gravy this weekend on FanDuel, which means you're getting a feast of rewards all weekend long. Right now, all customers, no sweat, same game parlay to celebrate the occasion. Just place a three-leg same game parlay, get bonus bets back if your bet doesn't win. NFL same game parlay is the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payday. Build your own or choose from the popular same game parlays pre-built for you at FanDuel, top-rated sportsbook app. So what are you waiting for? Get your no sweat same game parlay on America's number one sportsbook. Visit FanDuel.com/Calkins. C-A-L-K-I-N-S. C-A-L-K-I-N-S. Must be 21 or older. Present Tennessee. Opt-in required. Refund issues not withdrawable. But bonus bets expire 7 days after receipt. Max wager $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply, including token expiration. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789. You know, I'm so anxious to get to the calls, Jeffrey, that I struggled through that one a little bit. But I'm anxious to get to the calls. Phone number is 445-0929, and away we go.
Jeff, we start with Jeff in Raleigh. Jeff, you're on.
Hey, I watched that game yesterday with the same gambit of emotions that you went through. When that three-pointer went in, I didn't even think it was over. All I thought was Kansas. That's all that went through my head.
You had to. And it was unavoidable, yes.
And I couldn't turn it off. You know, they're my team. I have to watch.
Good
man. Win or lose, they're my team.
Good man.
And it was a good day for basketball in Memphis yesterday. I just wanted to throw it out there.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. 445-0929, 445-0929. Who do we got next?
Jeff, let's go to Joe in Olive Branch. Joe, you're on.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. I just want to first take my part in the demise at the end. I was excited for the game. My son laid him down for a nap. He likes me to lay down next to him. I fell asleep, woke up, looked at my phone. We were up 78-67. I should have just not kept watching. Of course, I went downstairs and watched it. I take my.
How do you live with yourself? How do you live with yourself? I guess given the way it ended, you can live with yourself.
That's exactly right. As far as the win and the poll, I usually look at it as what win is going to give us the national prominence. You love ESPN and Fox and all the big shows nationally talking about your team.
Yep.
And the Boise, any tournament win obviously gets elevated, but the Boise win is one of 32 in that span of 2 days and one of four in that time slot. Whereas the Maui's become, you know, the last, what, 20 years, the preeminent early season tournament. It's the one we remember Adam Morrison going off against Michigan State, Zion against Rui Hachimura maybe, what, 6-7 years ago. This one being against the two-time defending champions in an OT Classic, I think it gets elevated really close to Boise because you kind of have to give it to the tournament de facto, but I think this actually gives us more recognition.
That one puts you in the game against Gonzaga, but you lose.
That's true.
But you lose.
Yeah.
There were all eyes on you when you got to Gonzaga, but you lose that game. And honestly, this one felt needed. You know, this one felt really important. Anyway, thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. 445-0929, 445-0929 is the phone number. Who do we got?
Jeff, we got a Kelly in Germantown. Kelly, you're on.
Hey, Kelly.
Hey. Well, I was working from home, so I can't say for sure if I was watching the game. But if I were watching the game, I was very excited but also calm because I saw a team that was very prepared for the moment.
So you were calm even after that three-pointer dropped in?
Well, not calm. I mean, I thought they were going to lose the game, but I felt like they had already shown.
I agree with that. Like, here's the thing. What would we have been saying had they lost? We would say, the problem, we would have been saying how great they looked and that it looks, that's very promising going forward. But to have missed out on that opportunity would have just been incredibly painful. No?
True. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it. That's Kelly. 445-0929, who do we got?
Jeff, let's go to our friend Dennis in Whitehaven. Dennis, you're on.
Hello, Dennis.
Hey, good morning. Beautiful blue day, baby. Beautiful blue day. I just got three quick points right quick.
Okay.
First, I would like to say, you know, the thing about Bobby Hurley, that guy's a nut. I mean, you want to get there complaining. He should have been got tossed. I mean, some of the stuff that he was saying, and you could clearly read his lips.
Yes,
I mean,
he
was calling them F words, and I think he was even talking to our bench at one time. And, okay, so he's out the way. The second thing is you asked about how I feel. This is why, I mean, I'm older. I'm over 50, but I think that the passion for these Tigers is unsurpassed. I just think that, you know, as good as the Grizzlies do, the Tigers are the pulse of this city. And the guy, I don't know his name, I'm pretty sure you know it, the director of the Maui tournament, he brought that up. He said, Memphis fans, you will get to see the passion that they have. And I agree, man. I just think we have a passion that's unrivaled. And I hope we get Michigan State today. Go Tigers, baby. I bleed blue.
Thank you, Dennis. Appreciate it. I haven't even mentioned that. They do play Michigan State at 5 today. Whoops. I hope they're more locked in on it than I am. Parth wrote a really nice story about the director of the Maui Classic and his thoughts on Memphis and the passion of Memphis fans. He's got a connection to Memphis. You can read it off the Daily Memphian. 445-0929. Who's next?
Jeff, we got an A1 in Westwood. A1, you're on.
Man, good morning. Good morning, Tiger fans. How y'all doing out there, brothers?
We're good. We're good. You seem good.
Man. Hey, look, I just got a couple things. I'm like the gentleman that just called, but look, check this out, man. Danny Hurley walked all the way over to the other side of the court, talking to the referee, cussing him out. He didn't get tossed. Penny could never, bro. Penny could never. That's first.
Agree.
Second of all, man, Ja Morant, man, you see that there last night, man. Memphis, I'm telling you, Memphis, y'all. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you. Appreciate it. That's the kind of day it's been. That's the kind of night it was last night. We'll talk more Grizz with Chris Harrington when he joins us at 10 o'clock. 445-0929, who's next?
Jeff, we got a Robert in Memphis. Robert, you're on.
Hey, what's up, man? Listen, look, my Tigers and my Grizz, man, showed out last night. I feel like, you know, it's so great to see Penny do good after all the stuff that he have to go through, man, and stick with his school. When they showed him in the interview, he said, man, this is for my city. He represents our city, man. And that's the main thing. The main, you know how to coach. He's 7 years in. He's getting better. Let's him finish it. Let's let him finish, man. Let's not try to run him off, man. Let's stay behind him, man. Them Tigers and them Greens and Maine. That's us.
Thanks very
That's
much. I appreciate it. I do always, I do Penny often says this, and it comes from a place, he understands the city as well as anyone. He also often talks about what the city needs, or we need this for the city, in a way that coming from another coach might be authentic, but Penny, he does. He thinks of this as part of a larger enterprise for the city, and it's one of the reasons that I think everyone, even through the hard times, has always wanted him to succeed, even through the struggles. And that is why it's so much fun. I was reminded yesterday, just watching this, it's so damn much fun when the Tigers are good. 445-0929, who's next?
Jeff, we got a Brian in San Diego. Brian, you're on.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, what's up? Hey, how's everybody doing? Yeah, no, man. Go Tigers, go.
What are you doing out there in San Diego? What brought you to San Diego?
I just spent my last 10 years in the Navy. I used to call in as Brian from Bahrain.
Oh, yeah. Nice to see you stateside, Brian.
Yeah. Yeah, no. So I recently got out and started working for a company in Hawaii. And funny story, I was in Hawaii the day they played the San Francisco game.
Uh-huh.
Flew to San Francisco day that they played
the
Maui
game. You're doing this all wrong. You're doing this all wrong. Yeah.
No, but hey, what a great game. I was in the airport flying from San Francisco to San Diego while they were playing. And I'm standing on the line to get onto the airplane during overtime.
Right.
And I'm just like, when they, P.J. Stroud puts down the, I'm sorry, Carter, still learning all the names. When Carter puts down that three, I went wild in there. People were looking at me like I was crazy. And I'm like, y'all just can't understand.
All right. Thanks, Brian. Welcome back. Appreciate your service. I did see that Harold Ford Jr. is on it. He's on a Fox show, and he wrapped up the Fox show yesterday with a sort of Go Tigers, with a shout out to the Tigers beating UConn. We got some time, but we got time for a few more. 445-0929. Who do we got?
Jeff, we got a Toby in Whitehaven. Toby,
hey,
you're on.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
We're good.
Hey, I just wanted to say basically to answer the question about whether or not it's the biggest win in Penny's history.
What's the answer?
I actually think the win we might be looking for is the most validating win in Penny history, for sure. I think so because, at the end of the day, you don't accidentally beat UConn.
No.
You know what I mean? And then in the manner in which they did it, it wasn't like people can say, well, they won 57-58 and UConn had an off night. No, they went blow for blow with one of the elite teams in college basketball. And I just think that people, you can't deny that. At the end of the day, you can't look at that game and say, we don't have a good team. Like you said, we went down, got back up off the mat. Usually, we would get that feeling like, hey, we're snake bitten once again. Didn't happen. They figured out a way to win the game. And I think this can really, beating these kinds of teams does give us that benefit of the doubt that we used to get. Like Dan Hurley, y'all said he said something about, he was kind of entitled, feeling like, well, we're the defending national championship champions we should get. But being honest, that's a real thing.
No, it is a real thing. It is a real thing.
And when you're winning like that, like when we won back in the day when Calipari and Josh Pazner, we used to get benefit of the doubt from calls, preseason rankings, it's easier to recruit, all that sort of stuff, and that's what we need to get once again. And these kinds of wins are the kinds of wins we need on TV to get us rolling back in that direction.
Thanks, Toby. Appreciate it. To Toby's point, it's not like UConn had a bad night. UConn shot 49% from the field and 46% from three.
No, and this also wasn't like a night where, you see the score and you're like, oh, no defense. The defensive intensity was insane. It was just unbelievable shot making.
Yeah, it was something else. 445-0929. Who's next?
Jeff, we go to Jeffrey in Huntsville. Jeffrey, you're on.
Hey, fellas, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well. If I told you, Sunday, I would have thought we were walking into a buzzsaw, especially after being in the building against Alabama down here in that exhibition game. It was like, okay, it'll be a good defensive effort. It'll be, a fun watch. I didn't have any idea where to come in there and punch them in the mouth. So it's nice to see that. I just want to say thanks, fellas.
All right. Appreciate it. No, I was stunned. Hand up. I thought they literally had no chance. And I didn't think that, by the way, against UT. And I didn't think that, certainly against Boise State. And I didn't think that against Houston in the AAC champ. This game, unlike those other big games, was stunning, right? It was.
Yeah. I did put a decent amount of stock into they hadn't played anyone yet. In the sense
true.
Of your first time. But also, I think it was very clear when you were watching the game, you're like, oh, they can hang.
They can hang. Yes, it became very clear. And I do think, and again, now this didn't work last year, but a win like that can create, build confidence, can create cohesiveness, belief in each other, all of that.
Could also create the biggest letdown spot of all time.
It also could create a little bit of a letdown. It's Ron Olson said, I don't even care what happens today.
No, I'm with him.
But I, of course, I do care what happens today.
I get that, but at the same time, it's like...
I don't know how emotionally you come back from that, but I don't know how emotionally they handled overtime. 445-0929, who do we got?
Jeff, we got an Ian in Arlington. Ian, you're on.
Hey, Ian.
Hey, Oklahoma State fan. I've called in before. I want to make 2 points really quick. One,
yes,
if there's definitely no recency bias here, because when, you know, they basically beat what is considered the current gold standard of college basketball.
Second, I think that's point, a fair that point, and that's different than beating Boise State, even in the NCAA tournament. You beat the gold standard. Yep. Okay.
Yeah. Second point, the foul, that was a foul on McNeely because you're supposed to jump straight up, and he leaned over to grab that rebound. And that's why it was more than like a 50-50 call. So,
okay.
Yeah.
We appreciate the neutral. We appreciate the objective weighing in. Thanks very much. 445-0929. Who do we got?
Jeff, we got a DT in Midtown. DT, you're on.
Hey, DT.
What's up, guys? Long-time listener, first-time caller, lifetime Tiger fan. Mm. I got a million points I could try to make. I've got the same trauma that every Tiger basketball fan has.
It's something.
The biggest thing for me is the way we won that game yesterday. From the jump, we were dictating tempo. We were taking it to them. And if you really look, I'm not going to get too far ahead of myself because, I am still a Tiger fan. Yesterday, in that one game, Penny Hardaway outcoached Dan Hurley. And I don't think anybody's really saying that. But that dude was discombobulated, he was frustrated, and he made a fool out of himself. And I think for just this once, we love to hammer Penny, we need to celebrate Penny. That's all I got.
100%. 100%. 445-0929, 445-0929 is the phone number. Who do we got?
Jeff, let's go to Tony in Germantown. Tony, you're on.
Hey, Tony.
What's going on, Jeff? Hey, look, you know, some of what that caller said, totally agree where people last year, I thought it was ridiculous how bad Penny got berated by fans, the media, and all that. And obviously, he felt like he was being picked on at one point, to the point that he did come back around and apologize. But I never will forget two things. When last year, when they had him mic'd up going against UAB, and Penny wasn't saying much or anything like that, and people compared him to his counterpart, Andy Kennedy, because Kennedy was coaching the game and Penny wasn't saying much. I looked at last year's team as a team that, and sometimes you could tell, you could look at the disgust on Penny's face that they were just uncomfortable. But I think Penny's always had a knack for it. You give him a few days to put up a game plan, they come out and they'd be effective. I mean, in this team, people said that this team couldn't shoot and all this kind of stuff. This team is shooting a cover off the ball.
That's true. That's, I mean, this team,
in the last 4 years, if you had looked at it, they said we didn't have a lot of shooting. But by the end of the year, they were the best shooting team in the conference. You know, and I'm not picking on John Meyer when I say this. John Meyer came out with a stat that said something to the fact that when you got rid of most of your team and you come with new players, you can't win. And I don't understand how anybody can go to pre-NIL and say anything like that, because we're in uncharted territory where you're moving more rosters than you're moving dominoes or checkers. So, I mean, it's a new era out here, but for him to have this team playing like they are, these guys are playing great defense. These guys are playing great offense. I wonder this, because his stats you should check for championship material teams is rebounding, and free throws, and is one other stat. I can't think of what it is, and I think it's 3-point percentage. Look at those three stats. I want to know what this team is when it comes to rebounding, because they were rebounding the ball, and they've been playing doggone good defense. Shouldn't have come off the ball.
Thanks, take appreciate care. It. You know, on all that, first of all, I don't think John, I think John's stat, to the extent that was that if you look at the teams last year, in the era of NIL, that had the most turnover, they didn't tend to do well. And I think Penny himself has said more continuity would be good, right? I think he has said it himself. More continuity would be good. In terms of the larger Penny narrative, I think Penny himself would tell you the 6 years are not what he wanted them to be. I think Penny would tell you, and he has, I made a lot of mistakes. All of these things are things he's said, right? And I think I will tell you that throughout all of this, no one in the city, except for maybe a demented UT fan or something, has ever wanted anything other than for Penny to succeed and to have more days like yesterday. So I'm not going to use this opportunity to go back and do it. The point is, that was glorious. Let's celebrate it and feel thrilled for the guy that he had a win like that. We're going to bang through these last three, Jeffrey, real quick, and then we'll get then we got to take a break for Chris Harrington.
Jeff, we got Alice in Germantown. Alice, you're on.
Hey, Alice.
Hey. So yesterday's win did a lot of things, but one of the things that it did do was it caused Memphis fans to get re-excited about the basketball team and the basketball program, and probably went online and started buying tickets again. I believe that because of that, of what happened, there'll be more butts and seats at the Forum.
The other thing is,
Dan Hurley will never get those technicals called, as much as I screamed at the television and begged for them, because he's the two-time national champ coach.
He got it in the end, though, Alice. He got one in the end. He got a big one.
Yeah,
but
well,
I appreciate
it.
It probably took Alice yelling at the TV. It's probably what tipped the officials over the... She was just like everybody else, yelling at the TV. Who do we got?
Jeff, let's go to Barry and Bartlett.
Hey, Barry.
Hey, guys. One thing I really appreciate about Penny is I learned about 2 to 3 years ago from one of his former teammates at Treadwell High School that Penny has enough money in the bank to walk away and do nothing in his entire life but play golf.
Clearly.
And go around the world. But yet here he is enduring some criticism, just sometimes unjust others. But I hope he does the best job he's ever done this year, carries us deep into the tournament, because the guy does not have to be here.
Right.
Can you imagine just walking off your job, quitting and never having a need financially? It's amazing what this guy does, and I didn't realize it until this guy told us this.
Yeah, it's clearly so. Thank you, Barry. I appreciate it.
Yep.
And last call on this topic. Who do we got?
Jeff, we got a Carpool Mike in Midtown. You're on, Carpool Mike.
Jeff, hey, love the show.
Are you currently in a carpool right now at this hour? You probably not. What? Go ahead.
No, I've already dropped everybody off at school and looking forward to picking everybody up. But, hey, love the show. When Penny and the Tigers get back to the city, the first thing he should say at his first press conference is that he's the limousine riding, jet flying, kiss stealing, wheel and dealing, son of a gun, baby. The Tigers are back. The Tigers are back. Woo!
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. That's Carpool Mike, who's completed his rounds. And appreciate Mike listening. Appreciate all you listening. Appreciate all you calling in. By the way, we do have a news in the world of sports. Mac Brown?
Yeah, Jeff, as North Carolina turns, so reportedly Mac quit at halftime. Reportedly Mac didn't...
This time?
No, this was
earlier in the season. I don't know if he did it again. Yes.
Yes. So then last week he said, I'm not retiring. Mm-hmm. And today North Carolina said, we are retiring you.
He's getting canned.
He has been fired from North Carolina, according to Pete Thamel of ESPN.
But is he going to coach?
He is going to coach the North Carolina State game this weekend. Unclear if he's going to coach the bowl game.
All right, so we've got first hour has been largely Tigers. When we come back, we'll talk to Chris Harrington about the Grizzlies. Then we got Fish on Friday on Tuesday. We may try to squeeze in some Grizz highlights after that, just to send you off with a little gift from us. So busy second hour. Before any of that, I will tell you, if you're selling your house, Josh Hysaw and the team at Keller Williams Realty would be the folks to call. 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147. If you're selling your house, and it can be a tricky time, you want someone who knows the market. You want someone who aggressively markets. You want someone who is creative about the way they market. I met with Josh and honestly could not have been more impressed. Flexible fees, no upfront cost. We'll let you out of your contract at any time. If you are thinking about selling your house, at least give him a call and see what he has to offer. I guarantee you will be impressed like I have been impressed. It's Josh Hysaw, 901-461-8147, or joshhasthebuyers.com. Back in a moment, Chris Harrington joins the festival this morning. We'll do that when we return. 92.9 FM ESPN.